Hello, grandkids, and welcome to Stunt Granny Audio number 493. This is Kevin DeFrango. On the other end is Chris Calamita. What's going on, good sir?
Oh, not a heck of a lot here. Just getting ready for this old polar vortex over here in the state of Michigan. I don't know how
it's supposed to be
in your neck of the woods.
it is not warm currently. It is 17, feels like 1 degree. I was more than happy to sell my tickets to the hockey game tonight, because we do not typically park near the arena to save some parking money. We didn't really feel like walking to the arena. Someone purchased them, so I got off the hook, and here I am tonight. I do believe when I go to the gym tomorrow morning, it is supposed to be under zero. I don't know if that's, I'm going to guess that that's mildly better than what you're having usually, as most things go. A little further north.
Yeah, tomorrow is supposed to be minus 30 wind chills, up in the Detroit area here, so yeah, not looking forward to that, but also have no plans to leave the house tomorrow.
I still plan on, unfortunately, leaving for the normal stuff, so this is, it's gonna be a fun one. things are, as usual, though, after the Royal Rumble, heating up in the WWE. I always feel like the writing there usually seems to be an uptick in the quality of writing. I always feel like between Royal Rumble and WrestleMania that maybe somehow disappears other parts of the year. Definitely got really hot with Ronda Rousey being picked by Becky Lynch as her opponent at WrestleMania. Officially.
Yes.
Like, I mean, I think that everyone speculated this would happen, or at least a lot of people, us included, I believe, were assuming that either Charlotte or Becky Lynch would win the Women's Royal Rumble, and not surprisingly enough, they were the final two in the Women's Royal Rumble. And Becky Lynch was the one that wins. And, you know, this match just kind of seems like a natural thing that was going to happen. With Ronda already costing her championship, and them having a fight really did kind of, you know, it could have been interesting. Like, if we talked about the unintended consequences of Nia Jax breaking Becky's face, you know, there's a possibility that she ends up losing to Ronda and Charlotte is the one that ends up winning the Women's Royal Rumble. that's not what happened. And there's definitely been a little bit of a history, and I would definitely have to say that beating Asuka is a nice thing to do, but getting the first loss on Ronda Rousey, you know, that's gonna take someone special, and it'll be interesting to see if Becky Lynch is that woman.
Yeah, absolutely. No, what they did last night, this perfect moment, Becky and Ronda in the ring again, face to face. Becky cuts her promo, declares that she's facing Ronda at WrestleMania, and, you know, Ronda firing back after an interesting segment, although that I'm sure we'll double back and talk about. This is the match. This is the match that needs to be, and we'll also talk about, you know, still that, you know, still that fear that Charlotte, I hate to even call it a fear, but if you know what, I was totally okay with the idea of a triple threat match until last night.
I've got to admit to having similar feelings. Like, I don't think I'll be bummed out per se if Charlotte ends up being in it, because definitely her involvement tonight would definitely tend to make you think that there still might be something. I mean, yeah. Because there is a lot of time between now and then. And
there's definitely a lot of time to pay-per-views. Yeah,
there's no reason to rush the story. Like, if they're going to add her, it doesn't need to happen right now.
Right. No, it doesn't need to happen right now. And again, I'm still kind of hoping that they go in a different direction. I really feel this Becky Ronda one-on-one match is such a depth. The potential to be something really special, and I don't want anything to water down. Charlotte was excellent. Charlotte, the way she carried herself, her promo, the pull apart brawl, it was all good stuff. Absolutely. So
it would be actually kind of interesting. I mean, I hadn't really thought about it, but I saw someone bring up that there is the possibility that if Charlotte does not get added into that match, that, really the four horsewomen of the WWE could really be standing tall at the end of WrestleMania this year if everything, depending upon how matches would pan out. Because Charlotte taking on Asuka for a second straight WrestleMania in some ways would be, well, to me, it would be a fun storyline. Like, it's still her only loss. She beat Becky, who had recently beaten Charlotte. So, yeah, I mean, that's a really compelling story if they decide to go with it.
Yeah, it absolutely is. That's exactly what they should do. Because right now, Becky has already chosen to face Ronda. If Charlotte gets in that match too, it's like no one wants this match with Asuka, and who, by the way, was nowhere to be found on tonight's show.
Oh,
so that's it. Yeah, you don't want to do that. You don't want to make her title defense seem that second rate. And there's no one else really that strong on SmackDown right now either. To really, yeah, you can, I guess you could pick anybody on their roster.
Yeah, I mean they could sell Naomi if they wanted to, and that's another thing about having the time in between now and then. You would definitely have to do a little bit of rebuilding, and she'd definitely have to go over against Mandy Rose. You could pull her off, but they do kind of have a more limited top without if it's not Charlotte and Asuka there.
Right. Yeah. They absolutely do. So yeah, I'm big favor of keeping Becky and Ronda singles and moving Charlotte to a match with Asuka. But obviously, as you said, we've got plenty of time. Becky and Charlotte definitely have unfinished business. Interesting little twist with Becky's knee being injured. Where exactly does that lead? Saying that Becky is refusing to get medical attention because
she can't afford time off.
She has any injury and need to take any more time off. Yeah, there's definitely quite a bit they can do with this and twists and turns. If it's a triple threat match, I'm sure it'll be good. I'm sure they'll make it work. I mean, but there's just something magic about when Becky and Ronda are in the ring together. And I don't want to water down by any.
Yeah. So, well, I mean, and we both kind of admitted it. Well, it'll be interesting. There's a lot of time between now and then. She might get added. She might not. There definitely should be some lingering resentment because, if nothing else, there's at least going to be something at, I would imagine, Elimination Chamber, that goes on, and then we have Backlash too. So there's
Fastlane.
Oh, Fastlane. Whatever.
You don't like being in the fast lane on the road to WrestleMania?
Oh, yeah. Why would I forget?
And then there was the one year they ran into a roadblock on the road to WrestleMania.
Yeah. I don't know why I'd think that one that doesn't have some type of road reference to it, at least. Wouldn't be at the top of the list there, right. Especially at WrestleMania time.
Yeah.
Come on, DeFrango.
Yeah.
Get it together. Get your shit together.
Right. I mean, I'm interested to see where they go from here. You know, who does... I mean, obviously, they're going to have 12 women in that Elimination Chamber match. So that takes up a number of women who could potentially even say face Asuka. I mean, that's why Asuka's not on the show, because she's not going to have anything to do for the next 3 weeks if they're doing Becky and Charlotte one-on-one again. Maybe with a title shot or Charlotte being added as a triple threat on the line. I have no idea what else to do with Ronda on Raw to cover two pay-per-views.
Yeah, I think she
beats Sasha and Bayley in two consecutive nights.
Yeah, both, yeah, I mean, that was kind of interesting, that it made sense, but, you know, in a lot of ways it didn't make sense. You know, you'd think that that'd be another one that you could get a full-blown, feud out of, and I would imagine that it will happen sometime in the future, but... to have her just lose the night after a pay-per-view is kind of rough. But I have liked, actually, and I think I've said this before, both Bayley and Sasha seem to have benefited from this little shake-up that they've had. Even if they end up still... Because I'm trying to think of who qualified for the Women's Elimination Chamber tag match. Because, who was it on Raw that... the Riot Squad, and I'm trying to think of who else it was, because...
Nia Jax and Tamina.
Oh, yeah. And, because I'm trying to think of where I was going with that. Who would be the other team that, Bayley and Banks.
Bayley and Sasha, yeah.
Yeah.
And over on SmackDown, they don't even have the numbers of women to do qualifying matches. So we've got McMahon and Sonya just saying that they're in it.
I did at least appreciate that Tom Phillips is like, how the fuck is this happening? Like, this is so wrong. And, you know, you have Graves doing their usual drooling over Mandy Rose.
Not the usual drooling. No. It was way overboard tonight.
Okay. At least during that segment, it was the regular, in my opinion. But when he made it a running thing, the rest of the show is just like, oh my god, okay, it's a little much. But Tom Phillips did a couple of times say, you know, the other people had to qualify, how did this happen? So, I mean, at least it got called out that it was kind of a lame way to include them. But you're right, like, I mean, it's just a lot of... You know, if you're going to have qualifying matches, you're trying to have, well, what is that, 24 different women?
Yeah.
That's just, I mean, that would really take your roster plus NXT to get accomplished.
Yeah.
Which I do hope happens. I am still holding out hope that Kairi Sane and Io Shirai come, you know, like you said, SmackDown needs a little bit of help. I could see that emergency call-up happening, or just have them win a spot on NXT TV.
Yeah, no, but no, I don't think that they'll end up in the chamber match, actually. I mean, just
boo.
I imagine they'll put the Iconics in there, and then
yeah.
maybe Naomi will get a partner. Well, maybe, I don't guess they'd put maybe Naomi and Carmella together just to get Naomi in there against Mandy Rose. Plus Naomi and Carmella can both do, you know, athletic things in within the chamber.
Right.
So
yeah, so they yeah, both.
I can see that being where they go with it.
Yeah. Well, that would be a bummer if that is what ends up happening. But I can definitely see. I'd be pretty shocked if the Iconics don't get in there.
I'd be pretty surprised too.
Hey, that was kind of like when I saw the Riot Squad and because I forgot that even Ember Moon got a pass for even participating in the match. Not that I would have thought that her and Natalya would have had a chance against the Riot Squad. The Riot Squad just seems like a fit for this title, is one of the potential. Because I guess that's one of those things that maybe when Bayley and Sasha are introduced into it, I guess they'd be the favorites. But, man, outside of the other teams, I'm not sure that there is a favorite.
No, I mean, yeah, you'd imagine that Sasha and Bayley would be the favorite. But maybe you want to go with you want to hold off on them winning the tag titles and not win them right away, and then have to fight the WrestleMania for them. It's possible, but then who do they face? It's an interest because they've beaten the Riot Squad so many times. with the Riot Squad, I don't know what they're doing with are they going to do something where Nia Jax starts wrestling men on at least a semi-regular basis? I don't know.
That is certainly another interesting talking point. Since we're covering the women here for the most part. Because they certainly made some references to Nia Jax competing against the men. Some of it that happened on Monday may just be by other circumstances that we will probably need to talk about, too.
Yeah, we'll have to talk about that, yes, of course.
But, Nia Jax made quite the splash with some intergender wrestling in the good old WWE. She got to dish out some punishment. And, she had to take some punishment, too. That was a really fun surprise in the Royal Rumble. And definitely her size helps her, not look out of place there.
No, not against Rey Mysterio and Mustafa Ali. No, she did not look out of place at all. She was throwing those men around fairly easily.
It did help that they paired her against a couple of smaller guys. Randy Orton is no small guy, though. Her taking an RKO, I'm just like, I guess you've are slowly starting to win me over now. Like, I don't know if her ring stuff has been better somewhat recently. I'm like, I'm gonna have to start paying attention more. Because she did not, or is it just that she didn't seem out of place against the men that.
She did not seem out of place against the men, and that might be interesting if she actually wrestles better with men who aren't so much smaller than her that they're not going to get hurt as easily if she lands on them. Yeah, there is something to that. There is something to the idea that maybe I don't know if we need to go full on intergender wrestling like they do on the old indies, but for Nia Jax. I think that they can absolutely make that work.
It will be that. I guess that's another one that there were at least some hints that it could be in the future for her in the WWE. So I'm not going to mark that down as a sure thing, but I would definitely put that in the realm of possibilities. Area of my Venn diagram.
It's definitely it seems possible that they will go in that direction.
You know, it's definitely moved up from not a chance in hell, which I thought that was where that was firmly positioned. But there was something about that that I'm just like. Man, she really seems to be going at it. And like you said, maybe there is just something because, and I mean, we've talked about it before. Like, Charlotte is a big woman, but I mean, she really is not that big compared to Nia Jax.
No, she's not.
And there's a pretty big chasm, really, after her. You know, because Charlotte's bigger than Rousey. She's bigger than Becky Lynch. And I mean, some of their other rosters, even smaller than that. I mean, Alexa Bliss is. I mean, there's a reason one of her names is 5 Feet of Fury, you know. I mean, she is very short, even for the women. So, I mean, they have a lot of smaller women. In their division, and it definitely is something to compete against, you know, someone closer to your own size.
Yeah.
So, good on Nia Jax if that works better for her, or maybe even if that just makes her feel more comfortable in the ring with the other women, even if it just ends up being a mental thing. That will be good too. I guess. Were there any other women's storylines parts that we needed to tie up? Because you know that I don't think any of the newsworthy names were in the women's elimination chamber. I think most of those people. Like I even with Mandy Rose and why am I forgetting her name?
Sonya Deville.
That you know, I kind of expected them. They've kind of been a team the whole time. They seem like a natural fit to me to be in that match, despite the fact that they've been doing more single stuff, especially with. Oh, I forgot that they finally gave backstory to why Mandy Rose was harassing Naomi. And it was all because of Tamina giving her a splash back in the NXT days.
And Naomi was mean to her.
And I was.
Yeah, that was weird to put that out. The body slam and the splash that Mandy didn't know how to sell, and thus laugh during to put that on TV during the body of the actual TV show. Not the biggest fan of that but whatever. It's what they did. It gives Mandy Rose Naomi some more context. That was, you know, so I guess I could get over that other part.
It was.
It's very petty of Mandy Rose. It's, you know, it's been almost 4 years.
It was almost one of those things that was just like, why did you wait this long to pull this out? Like, is this feud going to last even longer? Like, this thing's been simmering slash going on for, like, months now, it feels like. Why did we finally get some context to this thing? That's what I was trying to figure out. But, it does help to get some context. So I guess good on them for filling that in. But like you said, it does kind of help put in an additional storyline for the Elimination Chamber with them, with Mandy Rose in there already.
Right.
So, and I guess, again, I was trying to figure out if there's anything else with the women, but I think that covers it. So, I guess, since there was the aforementioned, not really in name, but in spirit, Dean Ambrose, he was the one confronted by Nia Jax on Monday night. He also suffered his first ever loss to Seth Rollins, that was not by hook or by crook. I wasn't really surprised at that, but when we saw the news this morning that Dean Ambrose is planning to leave the WWE, and I do believe the WWE has acknowledged that he's leaving.
Yes, they have, which is an interesting turn of events that they acknowledged this, you know, which makes me wonder if we have already seen the end of the last appearance of Dean Ambrose, because what are we, unless they're going to do some really kind of big, epic, you know, big, you know, exit storyline, you know, admitting that he's leaving publicly just kind of just makes everything he does in the meantime seem very lame duck. So I imagine that either if he hasn't already finished up, he's finishing up soon. I completely understand if they don't do anything with him at WrestleMania, if they just want to, you know, either if he hasn't, once again, if he hasn't made his final appearance already, if, you know, we're talking the Chamber or Fastlane, to get them out of here, so they don't, you know, don't want to give somebody that, you know, the big spotlight at, you know, at WrestleMania, who's just gonna might end up somewhere else a month later.
It's. I guess I find it curious in some ways. I always felt like the WWE went out of their way to at least keep him on camera, which is more than can be said about a lot of people.
Yeah, he had a good run. He's always been in the thick of things since he showed up. Multiple title reigns. A fixture in top level storylines. Pretty much his entire run. I guess I understand, you know, if he feels like he has not been fulfilled for some time. I don't live in the guy's head, so I don't know exactly, you know, how he feels about things. I've met the guy in person. It wasn't very long, but you can get, if you're ever close to him, I don't know if you were ever close to him while he was doing indies in Ohio or anything.
No.
He is a weird guy. He does march to his own drummer. He certainly has his own way. He seems to have his type of person who has his own way of thinking about things.
Yeah, and I mean, I guess that's what it makes it kind of hard, at least from my perspective, to understand the decision from my end. You know, they don't make him do social media, which would seem to be something that if he continues to wrestle, he might need to do more, question mark? Because I feel like the indies is a lot of, you know, you've got to do your own self-promotion kind of thing. That
is very true. That is.
Yeah, like, you need to be out there more. Like, the WWE just sold Lunatic Fringe shirts or whatever they said. And, you know, I'm sure that he had nothing else to do with it. Like, they probably sent him an idea, even if they sent him an idea. Like, I mean, that's probably all he had to do.
Yeah. This is, I mean, he's done well over the years. I mean, maybe he's done with wrestling. Who knows? That's very popular. Because, yes, you are right. Yes, if he wants to do the indies, he would have to do a lot of self-promotion like you talked about, even if he signed with AEW or Ring of Honor or anyone like that. You know, they also like having their talent, you know, promoting their upcoming shows and stories on social media. I mean, obviously the whole genesis of AEW was created by, you know, online buzz,
YouTube show,
the YouTube show. So yeah, it's a, you know, and Ambrose has never, he seems like he's a very private guy. He seems like he did one season of Total Divas with Renee, and by all accounts, he hated the experience.
And it's one of those things where I you can do that. I don't have a problem with it. But it just kind of seems to go against the nature of the beast that is professional wrestling right now.
Yeah, it is. It absolutely is. And maybe he just doesn't like what wrestling has become. He just doesn't like it, anytime he's done Jericho's podcast, especially Jericho's podcast, because we all know the one time he talked to Steve Austin, that really, really didn't go well.
No, not even a little bit.
Yeah, so when he has lamented about the social media culture and no one having any mystique anymore, and everyone's going online and complaining about their travel accommodations and tweeting at Delta and at Delta Assist. You know, it just makes you know it ruins your mystique, and you know he's a guy who I think he was very much into that, keeping some kind of mystique.
Yeah, and I guess that's the problem. Like, when you have it, when you had more people still kind of keeping the mystique around, The Undertaker was the last guy that could pull that off. Like, there's no one else around Ambrose that's doing it. So it doesn't seem like a thing. It seems like you're being aloof instead of trying to create buzz for yourself. And that's kind of the problem, too, is that even if he perceives it that way, that it's just, it's hard to look at it that way. Because, yeah, like, I don't know, I guess I did not feel any mystique was built. But again, I also don't care. Like, I don't care that, because Aleister Black isn't really one that uses things all that much either.
Right, no.
But no, I don't think that builds a mystique around him either. Like, I think his mystique comes from his presentation. And I mean, I guess, yeah. I mean,
when Bray Wyatt is tweets about football, that probably crosses the line in the sense that guy who likes Dean Ambrose doesn't like.
Yeah, it was kind of weird when he does that. Of course, it's pretty weird that he's just getting paid and hasn't been on TV in, like, I don't know, a long time at this point. How long has it been?
Yeah, it's probably been since at least the summer.
Yeah, I was going to throw out like 9 months. It's been quite some time. But yeah, I could understand seeing that is a problem. So yeah, I guess it'll be interesting to see what Heat, you know, it's another thing that'll just be interesting to see how it ends up unfolding. Because, yeah, I mean, Ambrose could sign at one of those other places. Maybe, you know, he's kind of like Lesnar and didn't want to travel as much. But, yeah, I the more we talk about it and the more we talk about him kind of doing his own thing, I could just see him, you know, tapping out. I'm sure Renee's making enough money that he doesn't really need to work.
Yeah, I'm
if he didn't, and he doesn't exactly sound like he's a guy out spending his money about town.
No, he doesn't seem to at all. Seems like they, you know, it was a pretty simple life, and you know that, you know, they're doing well. So yeah, maybe that's it. Yeah, you know, maybe he is done. He is done wrestling, or maybe he does just want to do the odd indie shot, go back to his death match roots, because apparently that's what was fun for him.
Yeah, I mean it could happen. If he comes to, because I wasn't sure if I wanted to do it. I found another indie promotion here in Columbus. It's called Unsanctioned Pro. But it does look like they do a lot of deathmatch stuff, and I can't really sell my wife on that one. Like, and I'm not sure that I particularly want to do it either.
Right.
But it is one of those things I'm like, maybe I should check it out at least once before I completely shut it down. So, yeah. If Dean Ambrose shows up there, because it's somewhat near his old stomping grounds, you bet your sweet ass I'll definitely be there. But yeah, well, again, it'll be kind of interesting. Like, they lost the WWE between Ambrose. I mean. Ambrose leaving isn't going to hurt on the level of Roman Reigns, but they definitely will need to replace him with someone.
Yeah, definitely. He's been an important cog in the wheel for a very long time. Yeah, I don't know exactly what you necessarily replace him with, but yeah, he's got a spot in the card that definitely would need to be filled. You know, interesting for him is apparently how much money he turned down. You know, over $1 million guarantee, you know, just downside guarantee for 5 years. If he's turning down that kind of money, if money's not motivating him, man, I don't know if he's going to. I don't know if he goes to All Elite Wrestling.
Yeah, that...
I've never really gotten the feeling that him and Cody were buddies, or that he ever hung around the Young Bucks in his day. He was like kind of the deathmatch guy. He wasn't one of the, considered one of the elite, you know, wrestlers of that era of indie wrestling, along with Bryan and Styles and Seth Rollins and Samoa Joe. So he went the other path. It's kind of a weird, and I think he was considered something of a weird signing at the time.
Yeah, I guess I was not terribly familiar with his past work. Yeah, I don't know. It's really an interesting case that's going on. Especially, I mean, I don't remember. There just really do not seem to be many times that the WWE has come out and publicly acknowledged this thing either.
Right.
Like, that's another part that's just like, oh. You know, so that, you know, I guess they kind of realized the levity of the situation. Is that the right word to be going with?
Yeah, I think so.
I do think that it'll make commentary 100% less strange once Dean Ambrose is off TV.
That it will, but oh man, were they annoying. Well, Graves was annoying tonight, and then last night with the constant bickering. Ugh. These people do not know how to do banter. They really, really don't. It gets just annoying to listen to.
Normally, I've felt on a whole that Renee Young has been a net positive for the announce team on Raw, but there are times that the arguing gets to be a little much. And I'm trying to think of which match was particularly terrible.
I don't remember. I actually don't remember now either.
You know.
I just feel like, you know, this desire to have announcers constantly bickering. And
it was the Baron Corbin-Kurt Angle match.
Oh, that was bad. Oh, yeah. That was where it got really, really bad, where... You know, it gets pointed out that Graves was in Baron Corbin's wedding, and and Graves is defending Corbin, and Cole's got to state how the ratings were never worse than when Baron Corbin was Raw General Manager, which, you know, just stop bringing that up.
Yeah, and then Graves is like, oh, don't worry, our ratings were still shitty even when Kurt Angle was in charge. It's
yeah,
just like,
great.
Oh,
yeah.
No, this is not helping, guys. This is, like, even if that's true, it doesn't really need to be on TV anymore, especially since things are moving in a positive direction right now.
Let's not go back there. Yeah.
There is no reason to revisit this.
No, but yeah, Dean not being on TV anymore, especially not being a heel while Renee is trying to be objective, if not an out-and-out babyface. That will help a lot with the commentary.
yeah. It would be quite helpful. So there is that. I can only hope that that ends up happening with the exit of Dean Ambrose. But we shall see. Just because, I don't know, they just kind of have a combative nature to start with. It's kind of interesting that they're good friends. Because you would think that they'd be able to find a better line for lighthearted banter than they currently strike.
Yeah, but I guess... Corey and Byron are also very, you know, best friends as well, and you know.
Oh.
Unfortunately, Corey finally got as comfortable with Renee as he is with Byron, and trying to shout her down and throw barbs at her once again. And it'd be a lot better.
And that was the weird thing. I do remember the one week that David Otunga was on SmackDown, and I'm like, oh, he's kind of standing up to Corey Graves. This is working out pretty well. But I don't know. Maybe Graves has a way of beating you down week after week so that you have no resolve to fight back.
Yeah. That's just so enjoyable to listen to.
Monday was not their best showing. I will definitely go with that one. Okay, well, now that Dean Ambrose is off the board, I suppose, and the announce crew, I would have to say, I suppose, Seth Rollins officially picking Brock Lesnar as his opponent at WrestleMania would be the next big thing on the old Raw docket.
Yeah, I think so. I think that that's definitely a place to go with that. Yeah. They really didn't, you know, well, obviously when Triple H made Seth Rollins make a decision by the end of the night, and then Becky, you know, threw shade at him for even taking that long to make this decision. Yeah. They didn't really play it out very much. They didn't really, you know.
Yeah, it was kind of interesting that they made him decide, like, because I felt like some other people have taken a little more time with this decision, and no one's given them grief about it or, you know, set a deadline for them.
Right, yeah, and they really didn't, you know, put much sway into Seth choosing Daniel Bryan. I mean, and the crowd all night was very much for Seth going after Brock, so that wouldn't have even played well anyway with that audience. So, you know, they had Seth go out and get his ass kicked by Brock Lesnar.
Hey, yeah, you know, it was one of those things where I'm like, man, Seth Rollins, Daniel Bryan would be pretty awesome. And if people really, because I did feel like people, at least some people, wanted to see Braun Strowman win the Men's Rumble. And I'm like, well, that's one way to have Strowman take on Lesnar still. But yeah. They decided not to go that way.
No.
Which,
they're all in on Seth Rollins. You know, he's been the most pushed male superstar on the Raw roster since, you know, really since Roman Reigns went down. You know, they've got a story with Seth, you know, dedicating the match to Roman Reigns. Seth has called out Brock Lesnar by name on multiple occasions. Yeah. You know, it's a fine match. I mean, obviously, when they did it years ago, when Seth was a heel and Brock was in a weird tweener phase, the match wasn't very good. But Seth, with his, you know, babyface offense, will hopefully, I'm sure. Once again, if Brock was selling like crazy for Finn Balor, I'm sure Seth's gonna get a lot in that match. And obviously, I'd expect him to come out with the win at this point. Although with Brock Lesnar, you never know. He, you know, the man will always play it down to the wire with his contract negotiations, and sneak that win that you don't expect in. So who knows? But no, it's fine what they did. I mean, it was a really heavy beatdown. Like Seth should have no chance at all in WrestleMania type of beating he took.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of crazy that he honestly took that much of a beating just because, you know, Finn Balor didn't even take that much of a beating the previous night. You know, Rollins really got manhandled, especially for the guy that started the fight.
Yeah, that is true.
But I guess that is always kind of the nature of the beast. You're like, oh, they, you know, you're supposed to think that, oh, they don't have a chance. But like you said, you know that there's going to end up being a chance. And I'm with you. I would, early bets to me would be that Seth Rollins ends up winning at WrestleMania, in my opinion. I'd be a little surprised if Seth Rollins doesn't end up beating Brock Lesnar, just because even before Roman Reigns had to go on sabbatical, I guess I was trying to figure out a good word to go with there. You know, Rollins was definitely one of the top guys and one of the more pushed guys besides Reigns. So this match kind of had a little bit of an air of inevitability, and plus there is always the old WrestleMania to play off of, too. Because I don't think, was there ever any follow-up on that?
Follow up on what?
Seth Rollins beating Lesnar, not technically. Beating Lesnar at WrestleMania. Because what, didn't Lesnar end up getting suspended after that?
Lesnar got suspended.
So he never...
They did a rematch that went less than 5 minutes when the Undertaker showed up.
Oh. Yeah, so I mean, they've never really had a full-fledged rematch.
No, they've never had a full-fledged singles match between them, no.
So, yeah, I mean, there's just, there's a lot of story to be told with Seth and Brock, even without current concerns. They have a history together, so... It'll be an interesting feud, and Seth Rollins will probably just end up beating some random people on Raw on a somewhat weekly basis, because as we all know and love, Brock Lesnar is definitely not going to be there every week between now and WrestleMania.
Right. No, he will not. So yeah, in some ways, there's some interesting things that could happen between now and then. Now and after Fastlane, but there is definitely going to be a number of you know lame duck situations, and you know Seth just you know having TV feuds with whatever heel they throw at him, you know just to fill time and buy time. Yeah, every one of those things that just you know it is what it is, you know.
Oh,
because I definitely, cause at this point I see no reason for them to do any kind of changes or additions to Seth and Brock. I'm willing to bet that match is set in stone.
Unlike the women's match, I would be really shocked if someone got added.
Right.
If that someone isn't Roman Reigns, I would be even more shocked.
Right.
But it does not appear as if Roman Reigns is coming back anytime soon.
No.
So, I do not think that much of a possibility. I guess I did forget about one thing that I need to talk about. But Raw was kind of light on the men's side, honestly. And I guess, does Bobby Lashley beating up Finn Balor get second prize?
Yeah, I guess so. No. I mean, it's definitely a good direction. I would say, you know, to pivot Finn to going for the Intercontinental title. And no, I imagine there's a good chance that he'll end up with it. I mean, I don't know how you exactly I don't think you get this to WrestleMania. I'm pretty sure this is an Elimination Chamber.
Oh,
maybe a Fastlane type of feud. I don't think that.
Yeah, I guess I forgot that there was a second pay per view in between now and in WrestleMania. So I was thinking they might be able to stretch this thing out to WrestleMania, but that extra pay-per-view in there, I
doesn't exist.
Yeah. Well, yeah, it doesn't need to exist, and
but they want something. But since WrestleMania is in April, they want something in March to keep people from letting their
subscription lapse
for a month.
Oh, man. just seems like way too much work to let my subscription lapse.
Yeah.
Anyway. Yeah, it seems like a long time to stretch now that I'm thinking about it. While I was writing the Almost Live, definitely half-assed review there, I was not thinking along those lines. I might need to make even another set of corrections. Because that does seem like a long time to... Because I guess that was a little bit of the Dean Ambrose fallout, too. Like, there's definitely some things that happened on TV with him that I scratched my head at the time. But now it makes a little more sense. Bobby Lashley getting the title. I would definitely say he has more length left on his contract than Dean Ambrose.
Yeah, he definitely does. Yeah, that they're in the middle of giving him a big, at least maybe not the biggest push, but you know, a decent sized push. You know, and him against Finn Balor, they could have some good matches against each other. So no, I got no problems with it. It should be okay.
I mean it does seem like a way to keep Balor's name up there with, like we already said, a locked-in WrestleMania Universal title match. It's not like you can really have Finn Balor go after that twice, you know? I mean, Brock Lesnar is not the kind, you know, and it's fine, but he is not the champion that's going to be showing up for these two so-so pay-per-views before WrestleMania. So yeah, he needs another direction. Speaking of other directions, I know that you were talking about it more in context of SmackDown, but you were talking about how people that just got turned are turning again. Do you put Elias in that category for having beaten down Jeff Jarrett now twice in consecutive nights?
I do. I mean, he was healing on the crowd pretty hard. I mean, they want Jeff. I mean, wherever this is going, they want Jeff Jarrett to be the babyface in this scenario. And of course, they did just turn Elias, you know, not that long ago. So yeah, there's that. Then yeah, there was Rusev tonight, teaming up with, you know, the man who viciously injured his wife just last month, or not even last month. You know, so Rusev and Nakamura are going to be teaming now as a new heel tag team, which I could get into, but it just seems weird that we did this kind of weird babyface turn when Aiden English turned against Rusev, but that went to the wayside quickly, and they just don't seem to have much interest in Rusev as a babyface, but he did have a run as a babyface. It's just a short run.
And he'd been super over, too, just even before that. Like, it is such a... That Rusev thing is so weird.
It really is, and then
and then there's
Nia Jax, who can't be anything but a babyface when she's wrestling men, when she's fighting men, but still a heel when she's teaming with Tamina. That there's going to have to be, you know, a breaking point there, of which direction they're gonna go with her, because obviously when she's, you know, entering the Royal Rumble and beating up men, and she's knocking Dean Ambrose out of the ring, she's being cheered wildly, and then her women's matches start, and she's still, you know, wrestling.
Being,
you know,
booed.
Yeah.
It's a little dichotomy that they have going on with her, for sure. The Rusev one just... I still think that, you know, you didn't know how the Nia Jax thing was going to go crowd-wise. Like, you're kind of making for some reason, you consciously ignored the Rusev Day chants for months on end. And kept him a heel. And then you're like, yeah, we'll finally cave to everyone chanting for him. Oh, no, we don't really like this. You know, we're 2 months into this. This isn't really working out. I, you know, it's one of those things that I don't think they gave it much of a chance. And, yeah, I it's always a situation like that where I wonder who's Wheaties that Rusev proverbially pissed in. Because I just... Like you said, like I guess I could be a fan of a Rusev Nakamura tag team, because Nakamura is another one where anytime where I see someone entertain the idea of him being a disappointment in the WWE, I don't agree with the person making that sentiment, but I do certainly understand where it comes from. Because after seeing him in a couple of Wrestle Kingdoms, what's happened on SmackDown Live has not been pretty.
You know what? He's enjoying his life being paid in America? I don't know what to say. I mean, no, he's definitely not the same guy.
Yeah, like, I mean, I enjoy his stuff, and, like, I'm still enjoying the heel stuff. But it definitely doesn't seem to have translated into any additional push for him. He's kind of been around, but he really hasn't. You know, that secondary title, it occasionally gets pushed, but still not that much.
Yeah, it hasn't been pushed really at all since Nakamura won it. It's not been seen as important at all. He's during his reign, he was missing it from a number of SmackDowns. He didn't make a number of pay-per-views. There was the quickie reign for Rusev, and now, R-Truth is the United States champion, and who knows? It seems like they love writing for R-Truth, and love finding something for R-Truth to do and Carmella to do every week. So maybe this will actually be net positive for the U.S. title.
Yeah, that's the other thing that is kind of interesting about that segment on SmackDown is, like, I'm like, I don't want to bag on R-Truth. I love R-Truth. But those other two guys are in a weird spot. Like, I don't get what's going on with them. Like, R-Truth, like you said, like, they really seem to like to write for him. Or if he comes up with all that shit, he's a goddamn genius. Because, yeah, like, everything's enjoyable, and then when he needs to get serious, he can still cut a fairly serious promo.
Right, yeah.
So.
Yeah, I've been here for this R-Truth career renaissance since it started.
So, yeah, like, I mean, I guess I think he deserves a title. Like, I think that's good on him for getting that, but it just, for the people that it's at the expense of, it seems kind of weird. Or just kind of have him in a feud for it instead of just kind of giving it to him, which is the other odd thing. Like, why wasn't this stretched out?
This whole thing was the way the three count went on Nakamura went down was incredibly weird. Almost as if that wasn't supposed to be the finish at that moment.
That was pretty strange. Like, I'm like, hold on, didn't Nakamura kind of kick out, but Mike Chioda was on the other side, so he didn't see the shoulder was up? But, you know, it really wasn't a perfect angle to tell what both things were doing at the same time. Either, since the hard camera and the camera on the opposite side are pretty much doing the same angle. Which kind of obscures either Nakamura's shoulders or Mike Chioda. So you can't see when his hand comes down. So yeah, it's... I don't know. It's just a weird situation. Like, this was one of the few weeks that... and how could I almost forget about it? Few times that SmackDown didn't seemed a little disjointed, but I do think that we need to before we wrap up talk about Daniel Bryan pulling out a hemp and wood plated WWE Championship.
That is awesome. That I love that. That is totally Daniel Bryan's character. Yeah, you could argue that it's been pretty long overdue for them to do something like that. I'm sure it's taken a while to have that thing made. Yeah, I love it. I think that's it's so perfect.
I was just like, oh man. I do think that it was still nicely crafted. Like, they put some design thought into that.
It does look nice.
So, kudos to them for putting a little design thought into it. Like you said, it fits his character perfectly. So it's great that he busted that out. Trashing a belt always has a nice symbolism to it, and Daniel Bryan is certainly one of rebirth at the current moment. And God bless, I really like what he's doing with this character right now.
It's all good. It's all I like it a lot. It's definitely refreshing. It's innovative. It's really good stuff. But that ending was, as you were talking about SmackDown feeling disjointed, that ending was definitely felt rushed. Like, two entrances for guys challenging Bryan happened during the commercial break. The show just comes out of a commercial break and comes back with right in the middle of Mustafa Ali talking. They were definitely running out of time there. That was a rare, you know, timing issue for a WWE television program.
Which is kind of interesting. Like, we've kind of been pointing out all show, they have like a shitload of time until WrestleMania. Things shouldn't have kind of felt rushed on the first show after the Royal Rumble. You got plenty of time to put this stuff in motion. Just save some of it for later. With that, I think we can wrap up the world of WWE without really even talking about TakeOver.
Good show as always. Check it out. That's pretty much all you got to say.
I unfortunately ended up seeing results as I was watching the Royal Rumble pre-show, so I did see that Johnny Ohio won North American gold. But I still watched anyway, and I'm really glad I watched because that was an awesome match. I dare say that that was the best match on the card. I enjoyed Ciampa and Black quite a bit, but I'm going to go with Johnny and good old Ricochet there for my favorite. So yeah, go out and watch that if you haven't. It is definitely worth a watch. And at Stunt Granny, at Frank 11, at Chris Calamita. So yeah, ratings on iTunes, SoundCloud, Spotify, wherever you happen to pick this up, do it. Thank you. Have a good night.
Later.
Oh, and as I did last week, I suppose I need to remember that Belt Time Beer of the Week, up from Chris's neck of the woods, Dark Horse Brewing, Scotty Karate, Scotch Ale. I do like me some malty ales, and this one enters into that category. Not always for everyone's taste, but if you like a little sweetness and not so much hop, actually very little, go enjoy this because it's quite tasty. Nice malty flavors. Night.